In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. Have you ever taken a political survey? These can be taken online, or sometimes you get a phone call. Basically, in a political survey, you answer a bunch of different questions about how you think things are going on in this country. Then the pollsters compile all the different answers that all the different people give to those same questions in the hopes that somehow, some way, this actually gives us an idea of what the country as a whole is thinking. And one of the most popular questions that they like to ask in a political survey is, how would you rate the elected leaders? How would you rate the president or Congress or governor? Now, to be frank, I could care less about your opinion of our political leaders. That's between you and your God. But I do care about your opinion on a different leader. I do care what you think of your King Jesus. For on this Christ the King Sunday, as we see Jesus has power over all, I want you to contemplate this question. How do you rate him? How do you rate Jesus' job performance as king? For Daniel was quite clear in our text, wasn't he? Jesus is king over all. Look at what he saw in our text. In a vision, Daniel saw someone like a son of man, who's clearly Jesus, standing before the Ancient of Days. And that's a good name for God the Father, the Ancient of Days, is it not? He's older than days. He precedes time. For he created time when he created the heavens and the earth. And since he created all things, including time itself, that means he has power and authority over all things. He is its creator. And what did the Father do with this power and authority? Well, in a mystery of the Trinity that we really cannot fully comprehend, the Father gave all this power and authority to his Son. For as Daniel says, to him, that's the Son, was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom. Yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is king over all. He has power over everything in this world, including over everything in your life. Nothing happens to you without his knowledge. Everything that happens to you is under his control. And if that's the power and authority that Jesus possesses as king, I ask you again, how would you rate him? How would you rate Jesus' job performance as king? Well, God's people in the days of Daniel probably wouldn't have rated Jesus' job performance very well. Do you know where God's people were when the book of Daniel was written? They were in Babylon. And not because they were taking a vacation or a family road trip there, but they were in Babylon because they were exiles. Babylon had completely destroyed their city, burning it to the ground. They had burnt the temple to the ground, the very place where God dwelt with his people, and they had carried God's people away from their homeland, away from the temple worship, to live as exiles in this foreign land. Can you imagine living that way? Can you imagine living in a different land, surrounded by different people, eating different food, following different customs and laws, and maybe even having to speak a different language? It probably wasn't all that easy. I don't think many of God's people in the days of Daniel were content and happy with their lives. They probably would have given their king a poor approval rating. Or if asked to rate their king, the one who has power and authority over all, those in the days of Daniel probably would have rated him quite poorly, for they would have been wondering, why didn't he use this power and authority to stop this captivity? I'm sure there were people that thought that way in the days of Daniel. And isn't it easy for us to think that way today? For nothing has really changed in the 2,600 years since the book of Daniel was written. Oh, to be sure, we aren't living in Babylon. We're not captives living in a different land right now. But I still think that we can relate to what God's people were going through in Babylon. Why? It's because our lives aren't perfect. We face struggles in our life, struggles that we have to deal with. There are accidents, hardships, and persecutions that we face. We have to deal with sickness and disease, anger and strife, arguments and dissension. We have to deal with problems at work, problems at home, problems at school. Hardships, accidents, and persecutions pop into our lives seemingly out of nowhere. And we don't really know what the future is going to hold. What will this world look like 50 years from now when my children or grandchildren are living in it? What persecutions will they have to face if they're trying to remain firm in the one true faith? Will they be able to endure all those persecutions and remain in their baptismal grace all their lives? We don't know the answer to those questions. For even though it is true that Jesus is king over all, even though he has received all power and authority as he rules over everything, bad things still happen in this world. And the closer we get to the last day, the more bad things seem to be happening. And these bad things aren't just happening to bad people either. It's not just like Jesus is punishing those unbelievers in the hopes that they somehow come to repentance. Oh, to be sure, that most definitely does happen. But even believers suffer bad things. Bad things come into your lives. Bad things come into everyone's lives. For just like in the days of Daniel, it wasn't just the unbelievers who went off to live in captivity, but many believers were caught up in their consequences and sent into exile as well. So also today, it's not just unbelievers who are struggling. But we believers struggle as we live in this sinful world. We struggle as a result of our own sins. We struggle as a result of the sins of others. We struggle as a result of living in this sinful world where hardships, accidents, and persecutions somehow arise. And when those struggles come into our life, whatever they may be, they are different for everyone. But when those struggles come into our life at times, it's very easy to give God a poor approval rating. Who of us hasn't started to question our King? Were you sleeping on the job? Did you not use your power and authority to protect me? Or perhaps worst of all, do you not love me as you claim to love me? Because if you really did love me the way you claim to love me, well then you would always use your power and authority to protect me and make my life easier, right? It's easy to think that way because that line of thinking fits so well with our logic. But my dear Christian friends, that's not the type of king you have in Jesus. You don't have a king whose main goal is to make sure you have an easy life here on earth. You have a better king than that. For did you catch what your King Jesus said as he stood before Pilate? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's why he didn't call down his servants to protect him from the beatings and whippings and crucifixion. He had the power and authority to do that, right? He could have called down his holy angels and stopped all that pain and suffering. But it's not the type of king he is. A king who is mainly concerned with having an easy life here on earth. Instead, how did your King Jesus use his power and authority as he stood before Pontius Pilate? He used his power and authority to allow himself to be beaten and whipped. He used his power and authority to allow himself to be nailed to a tree. He used his power and authority as king to subject himself to death on a cross, all so that his kingdom could be made perfect and his kingdom could be around forever. And do you know where his kingdom is? My dear Christian friends, his kingdom is you. His kingdom is not of this world. That's why his main goal is not to save this world. This world's fate has already been sealed. It is full of sin and one day will be destroyed and burned up in fire. But his goal as king is to save you, his kingdom. It's to dwell inside of your heart and to reign over your life. It's to find you when you stray. It's to forgive you when you sin. It's to redeem you by covering you in his holy and precious blood so that you can be his kingdom, living in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. That's the main goal of your king. It is to save you, proven by the fact that he did not call down his servants to protect himself as he stood before Pilate, but allowed himself to be whipped and beaten and crucified and put to death all for you. And if that's the main goal of your King Jesus, if his main goal is to use his power and authority as king to save you, well then I think we have to give him a pretty good approval rating, right? We have to give him a perfect 10. Why? Well, think about who you are. You are a child of God. You are forgiven of all your sins, not because of something great you have done, but because of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Savior, Jesus. For not only did your king use his power and authority 2,000 years ago in order to win that forgiveness for you, but now your King Jesus, he is still using his power and authority. He's using his power and authority as he sits at the Father's right hand, ruling over your life, making sure that the exact right thing happens to you at the exact right time, even if you perceive it as a persecution, hardship, or an accident. Because he knows exactly what needs to happen in your life so that you can remain a part of his kingdom, remain faithful to him, and dwell with him for all eternity in heaven. For just as it was good in the days of Daniel that God's people were in captivity in Babylon, because in his infinite wisdom, the king knew that is how he could save as many people as possible, so also today, it is good that you have faced the struggles you have faced in your life. And it is good that you will face the struggles that will still come in your life. For God, the King, is always at work in you, through you, and around you to make sure that everything that happens in your life is for your good. So that one day you can dwell in his kingdom of heaven forever, a kingdom that will not end. For as Daniel concludes in our text, his dominion is an eternal dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. And so, my dear Christian friends, on this Christ the King Sunday, this last Sunday of the church year, this is why we can't help but rejoice. Despite the struggles we have faced in our life, despite the struggles we may be facing right now, we can't help but rejoice in our King on this Christ the King Sunday. For our King Jesus has, is, and will always use his power and authority to do this one great, glorious thing for you. He has, is, and will always use his power and authority as King to make sure that you remain his kingdom for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed as printed in the bulletin.